Good afternoon. I've been asked to share a little bit of my story, and we have about 45 minutes to fill, so I would like to start with my great-great-grandparents. And it's all right, we've got other things. So I have come down from Christchurch. We've only just moved to Christchurch. I moved down with my wife and two of our kids, so two kids have left home, and our youngest two came down with us. And we've been in Christchurch since January, so we're still sort of figuring our way around. And I have a couple of part-time jobs, but one is I work for New Zealand Rally, run Girls Rally and Boys Rally, which I know happens in both the churches here. And so just so happens that we were coming down to have a rally training day with rally leaders. So I've been down in the room next door doing that this morning, but then it was lovely to be invited through to the big room, and we will talk about prayer for a few sessions. I'll say a couple of things about the sessions that I'll be doing. My intention is for these sessions to be interactive. So, introverts, you're going to hate this, but I am going to make you talk to people next to you. There you go. So, a couple of things. If you're sitting on your own, you may want to move. If you're sitting next to somebody strange, you may also like to move. But I'll just make us all close our eyes and you can sort out who's doing what. But the point is, so we'll be looking at the Bible. I don't have anything interesting to say about prayer, but the Bible has lots to say about it. So we'll be jumping into the Bible, seeing what it has to say about prayer. We'll be having some discussion about it as well, and there'll be some opportunities to pray. It seems silly for me to stand here and talk four times, 45 minutes about prayer, but we don't actually pray. So we'll be doing that a little bit as we go as well. It does feel like one of those funny things to talk about, and I was given freedom to choose what we would chat about in these four sessions. Part of the reason I want to look at prayer is because I want to look at prayer. I think prayer is one of those subjects that you can probably make most Christians feel a little bit guilty about it if you bring it up. And you think, how are you going in your prayer life? We know that prayer is important. I don't think prayer is, in some ways, super complicated. We're speaking to God. We know God is listening. We know He answers our prayers. But would I like to pray more? Yes. Our daughter is in year 3 of university. Our son, he's year 13 at school, but because we're moving down to Christchurch, he said, look, I've just got 1 year left. Leave me behind in Hastings. That's where we were living. And so I left him with my parents. He's doing year 13, and we came down. So I've had two children leave home now, which is kind of a new phase of life and parenting. And possibly because of my personality, when I dropped our daughter off to university or when we left our son behind, the thing that my mind goes to straight away is the regrets I have as a parent and the things I think I didn't do well and I wish I'd done differently. And that is just the way my mind goes. And if I'm honest with you, I wish I'd prayed more and more consistently for my kids. So this is not Mr. Expert who's chuffed with himself in his prayer life coming to tell you how to do it. This is, let's open God's book, the Bible, and let's learn and be reminded and be encouraged about what it says about prayer, and let's encourage each other, there'll be some interaction, and let's pray with and for one another. So I hope you're up for that over the next couple of days. Well, as I say, I think prayer is simple. Children can do it. Talk to God. You don't even need to close your eyes. If you pray when you're driving, you probably shouldn't. But even though in some ways prayer is simple, prayer is the kind of thing that we can have lots of questions about. Okay, well, how do I pray? Now, some of you might not think about that very much. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm very thankful for that. My parents were both Christians. My grandparents, at least in the end, were all Christians. And so I've grown up and I've seen and heard lots of people praying. And so in some ways, I haven't really ever thought about the question, well, how do you pray? But my wife and I met a young couple recently, and they're still not Christians, but they're very, very interested in what Christianity is about. We've been trying to share with them and share from the Bible and share the gospel with them. And they say to us, well, we'd like to pray, but how do you do it? If not, what do you say? Where do you start? Do you have to kneel? Do you have to They've never grown up in church. They have no idea. So how do you pray? Fair enough question. When should I pray? When's the best time to pray? I've learnt, not always late at night when you tuck yourself into bed and you think I should just say a few quick things to God. Not always the best time. We used to live in Melbourne, and the particular part of Melbourne that we lived in there's a big Turkish population around there. And so lots of stores, lots of people hanging around in the neighbourhood where the predominant religion would have been Islam. And you could go into the stores there and you could buy a little alarm clock that went off five times a day, because those are the five times that they should pray. And there were posters about how to pray. And so do we need a little alarm? Five times? Three times? Two times? When? What time? When do we pray? What should we pray for? What should we pray about? What's the most important? Is there anything too small and too silly that God doesn't want to hear from us about? How do I keep focus when I pray? How do I stop from starting with prayer and moving on to thinking about shopping lists and what I'm doing to pray? Oh, sorry, Lord. Back to it. And what do I do when I just don't feel like praying? Now, you've never had that problem, I bet. But sometimes I think, I'm actually struggling to pray. What do you do now? Just push through? What do you do? Let me give you your first opportunity to chat to someone next to you. Here's a question. I'll just give you a couple of minutes to chat about this. Why is prayer sometimes difficult for us? Why do you think prayer is sometimes difficult for us? Have a chat for a minute. And I'll bring us back together. Okay, if you happen to be sitting next to someone who says, I don't get what you mean, prayer is never difficult for me, keep an eye on them. They're the one to hang out with this weekend. They'll give you lots of good tips. Luke 11 is where I'd like us to start in our four sessions. Luke 11 is today's passage. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to turn to Luke 11, or you have it on your phone or your appy thing, flick to Luke 11. I'm in the NIV if you care, but doesn't matter what version you're using. Isn't it brilliant to know, if you're not quite sure how to pray, we can get advice from Jesus? No one better. Luke 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to put before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you.
Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let me say a quick prayer as we come to these verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. We thank you that we have here in Luke 11 the words of Jesus teaching us about prayer. Help us to listen to his words and to learn from them, and help us to put them into practice. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord's Prayer for me is something that if I'm not careful, I sort of think, yep, got that. I grew up at Palmerston North Boys High School. That was the school that I went to, and every single morning we had school assembly, and we would all jam in there. You know those old wooden forms that are on the metal thingos? And then you got two people and then two people, there's a gap in the middle. We had to squish five on those because this hall was too small, and we'd all clamber together and then they'd ring the bell and the rector, the principal, would walk in his gown. We'd all have to stand up. And he'd go and stand at the front, and we'd say the Lord's Prayer every single morning of school. In a state school, we would say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, and it just became, because for most boys there, what is this? Just some words, bit of tradition, bit of magic, bit of mumbo jumbo. Just say it, didn't believe it, didn't know the God we were praying to. Out it comes. And so it's really something that I benefit from slowing down and thinking, actually, what is Jesus teaching here? Because the disciples have asked him a question. I think it's a great question. Lord, would you teach us to pray? We all need help. The disciples need help. And they've seen Jesus. They know that Jesus is a man of prayer. And Jesus would pray all through the night. He valued prayer. Jesus was a prayer. So, Lord Jesus, can you teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples? And here's what Jesus gives them, this short prayer. And isn't it interesting that our wee passage here starts with, in a way, he says to them, when you pray, say, Father. And the story at the end is about your Father in heaven. To begin with, when Jesus wants to teach them how to pray, he starts with, here's who you're praying to, your Father. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fair enough that Jesus addresses God as his heavenly Father. But if you have been adopted into God's family because you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then he is your Father. And you can address him and say, Father, our Father. And the good news is, this Father is the Father that you always wanted. It's kind of important to say these days, I had a good father. I'm really thankful for that. My father did not have a great father. My grandfather was a difficult man, to say the least. I don't have any good memories of him. He was married to my grandmother. She was lovely. One of my children is named after my grandmother. We loved her. My grandfather was hard. He was one of those generation that went off to the war and came back different. He was a tough bloke. And my wife and I, we've had some kids living with us over the years. We've got four of our own. We've had about 20 foster kids live with us over the years as well. And for a lot of them to say, look, you can have a new father, doesn't really sound like a great deal, because the father they had was a stink one. The good news about this God, this Father, is he's the Father you always wanted. He's the Father who loves. He's the Father who is kind. He's the Father who cared about people so much that he sent his Son to do for them what they could never do for themselves. They did not deserve it, but he did it anyway because he is such a kind and loving Father. And whenever you pray, his ears are open to you. Isn't that great? Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Starts with praising God and actually asking him to do in the world the things which he has planned. Because he has good things planned. His kingdom come is good news. It'd be great to live with God as your king. So your kingdom come. And then in verse, as the verses roll on, in verses 3 and 4, Jesus starts talking to his disciples about the kind of things they can ask for. Yet you can pray about God's great big purposes in the world. Your kingdom come. One day, God is going to rule over a new heavens and a new earth. It will all be under his rule. Everyone is finally going to understand God for who he is. One day, every knee is going to bow and acknowledge Jesus for who he really is. This is God's great big plan. This is where all of eternity is heading. Jesus says, pray for that. Ask for that. And ask for the little stuff too. Like the bread you need just to get through today. Ask for your needs, your material needs. Pray for your spiritual needs. Forgive us our sins. Pray for your relational needs, that you would be able to forgive others for the sins that they do, just as you have been forgiven. Pray for your spiritual needs. Lead us not into temptation. The great big things that God is doing in this world, the plans that he has, the things that he's told about in the scriptures, pray for those. The little things you need to get through today, pray about that. The help you need, the sins you've committed and the mess you've made, talk about that. It's all fair game. You have a Father who loves you. He's listening. Now, I don't know about you, but I only talk to some people about some things. Depends who they are. I am by nature an introvert, so I don't talk to many people about many things sometimes, but depends how you're going. But one of my activities as a parent has been standing on the sidelines of winter sport. Some of your parents know about this. You get to stand in the mud, in your gumboots, holding the umbrella, watching a bunch of kids chasing a ball. It makes no sense. They don't know where they're going. They're not in position, but one of them is yours, so there you are. Actually, it was neat fun. I drove this morning up the road there and saw some kids playing rugby. My son plays rugby. And all the parents standing out there in the rain, I was in the nice warm car thinking, great, good morning. They're enjoying themselves. But the blokes on the side of the rugby sidelines, I got to know some of them over the years, the other dads, you know. And I've learnt that, at least in my case, not a lot of deep personal conversations about our feelings happened on the rugby sidelines. Let's look at it that way. You talk to some people about some things. Maybe you're a bit wary because you have I don't know you, so you can't take this personally. This is just hypothetical. But maybe you're involved in like a small group, Bible study group, home group, cell group, whatever you call those. And it's the kind of place where you would share things, but there's that one person in your group that if they catch hold of things, they tend to also share it. So yeah, you don't share it. Eyes front, everyone. Don't look at anyone. We don't know who we're talking about. I'm just saying. Sometimes you have issues going on and you think, I'd love to be able to share this with someone, but actually if I shared this with this person, it would actually be a burden for them. They couldn't handle it. So it's not like I'm lying, I'm not trying to keep secrets, but it would be too much for this person. I'll just keep this to myself and carry it myself. The great thing about God is you can share absolutely anything with him and everything with him, and he can handle it. And he will handle it, because he's your Father. So here's a bit of a thing for you. Have a look through, they sometimes call them the petitions or the things that we ask God in the Lord's Prayer. So hallowed be your name. We ask your kingdom come. We ask, God, give us each day our daily bread, or give us the things that we need, praying for our needs. Forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who trusts against us. Lead us not into temptation. I want you to have a quick look at that list and think, are there some on there that you pray often? And are there some things in here that you don't really pray about much? Now, I'm not going to make you chat with someone next to you unless you want to. I'm not trying to rat you out or anything. But have a look in there and you think, yeah, some of these I pray quite often. I quite often pray for the things I need, but I don't often pray this one. Just have a quick look and think for yourself over those few verses from verse 2 to verse 4. I think it would be fair to say for me that a lot of my prayers probably fit under verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread, praying for the things that we need. I'm pretty good at thinking about the things that I need and asking God for them. The neat thing about this is it is give us each day our daily bread. So it's not just praying for the things I need, but it's also praying for the needs of others. For the disciples, it's, you know, to pray for each other. For us, to pray for others we know and the things that they need. But it's interesting that I often think of the things I need when I'm in trouble. Suddenly I remember how to pray because I need something. Fine. God's happy to hear from us when we're in trouble. But how often am I asking for things like your kingdom come? Praying for the things that God is doing, the things that he has planned, the things that he is working out in his great rescue story. Actually, how often do I pray, lead me not into temptation? I mean, even in terms of acknowledging sin, yeah, I can do that. I have enough of them. But to look ahead to each day and each situation I have ahead of me and to say, I know I'm prone to fall and to make a mess. Please, Lord, help me. Don't lead me into temptation. Help me to steer well clear because I want to honour you in what I do. I did fly down here from Christchurch. I am getting better, but it is true to say that booking a plane flight is good for my prayer life, because I do not love the flying. And the plane starts moving in directions I was not quite expecting, and suddenly I remember how to pray. Well, you can pray for the things that you want, you can pray when you're upset, you can pray when you're sad, you can pray when you're scared, but how much more does Jesus give us to pray for? And pray every day. Second thing I want to show you from these verses is that, first of all, we pray to our Father and what we can pray. The second sort of section here, I think, Jesus is dealing with the fact that our Father will always answer. So when the disciples go to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray, he did give them a model prayer. He gave them some areas to pray about, some things to pray for. He gave them some words that they can say. But then he also tells them some stories about why they should pray. Isn't that interesting? Maybe the issue wasn't so much that the disciples didn't know what to say. Maybe part of the issue was that they needed to see who God is more clearly and the way that he treats us more clearly, and then they would be motivated to pray. So if you have a look at verse 5 again, he says to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And the one inside says, don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, although he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And Jesus gives them a story. I love it when he does this. It's easy for us to remember and to picture in our minds. He gives them a story about a friend who has an unexpected visitor who shows up at midnight. Don't you love those ones? I don't have too many of those, that's right. But he shows up at midnight, and being a good, I take it, southern bloke, he wants to show some southern hospitality to his friend who's just showing up at midnight. And so he asks for 3 loaves of bread. There's an interesting wee thing where he knocks on the door and he says, give me 3 loaves of bread. And basically his friend says, go away. But he keeps knocking. Come on, mate. Just three. My kids are... Come on, mate. Keeps knocking and knocking and is bold. Some other translations have other words for it. He's a cheeky fella. And because he's so cheeky and he just keeps knocking, eventually he gets what he wants. And so then Jesus says, and we're still talking about prayer there, he says, well, then ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, etc. And I think what I used to understand this parable as is the friend who's asleep is God, and he is what we need. And so when there's a moment of need, we should go and knock on God's door and keep knocking and keep knocking and be persistent, and then we'll get out of God what we want. I've changed my mind on that. I think Jesus' point is that God is not like the man in the house. God doesn't sleep. And when you ask God for something, you don't have to nag and nag and nag and he begrudgingly finally gets up and gives you what you want because you've just gone on and on and on about it. No, if even your mate can be dragged out of bed by your asking, think about what happens when you ask your Father, who is good and generous and kind and never sleeps and always knows what you need. He's ready to answer your prayer. So ask and it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. That's what God's like. When Jesus wants to teach his disciples about prayer, he actually teaches them about what God is like. And I read one, I can't remember the quote exactly, but I read one Christian bloke who said, the reason sometimes we get ourselves in a muddle about prayer is because we're in a muddle about God. If we understand what God is like, who he is, and how he treats his people, it answers a lot of our questions and issues around prayer. I have some friends, you might have some friends who don't answer. You know the ones, they never have any credit on their phone. You ring them up, they never call you back because they never got any credit. Send them a message, they see the message, but they never get back to you. Or the ones that, my wife's like this, she's either lost her phone or it's flat. One of the two. So she's a hard lady to get hold of. Maybe on purpose, not sure. But a hard lady to get hold of. I think in this story, Jesus' point is, no, God's not like that. He's never lost the phone, never low on battery, there's always credit, he's always listening, he always cares, he always answers your prayer. So the question I ask myself is, well, okay, so when I pray, actually, not what is the right answer, but actually, how confident am I that God is listening and answering? Or here's a question for you. I'm going to get you to discuss it, and then I'm going to pop some things up here. Why do people sometimes come to believe, Christian people, why do people sometimes come to believe that God doesn't care or God's not listening to them? So we can struggle with that at times. Is he really listening when I pray? Doesn't he care? I keep asking about, why do you think sometimes we struggle to believe that God cares or that God is really listening? Because Jesus says he is. But why can that be a struggle for us sometimes? Have a chat about that for a minute, and then I'll ask you for some ideas and pop them up here. Okay, for anyone who's brave enough, I'm going to ask you now. Here's the thing. I'm deaf in one ear. It's that one. You don't need to remember this for later. There will not be a quiz. It means, though, that when you call something out, either I don't hear it, or you call it out and I look at you because I think the sound is coming from over there. So God is not deaf, but I am. So call out loud and strong. Why do you think it is that we sometimes can struggle with this idea that God, either God's not listening or he doesn't care? Why do we sometimes fall into that trap? Right? Don't get the answer we want. Great. Uh-huh. Yep. So not always in the time that we're after. Yeah, not always instant. There's a way to, yeah. Okay, yep. So we're praying with the wrong motives, therefore, Yeah, so we're praying with the wrong motives, therefore we're probably then not getting the answer that we're wanting, or, yep. So that's why that can be partly, around wrong motives or for our prayer. Yeah, others, why do we sometimes feel like God's not listening, God doesn't care? Why can we feel like that at times? Yeah. Don't get any answer. Yeah. So there is an answer. It's just not the one I was after. I don't want. This is good. Finn's pen is fading. So for those with bad eyesight, it's not you. It's him. There's someone else over here. One more. So. Yep. So yeah. So that part of this not getting the answer we want. Not God's will to give us the thing that we're asking for, therefore, yeah. And I wonder if the disciples have experienced some of this. They pray for something, they ask for something. We certainly know they expected things of Jesus, and he didn't do what they expected or in the way that they expected at times. And so there's this kind of, well, maybe it's because God doesn't really listen to the things that I'm asking for, or I asked them to do this and that happened. So maybe God doesn't really care. And so I think it's interesting that Jesus says, okay, sure, I'll teach you how to pray. Here's some things that you can pray about. But straight away, let me give you a story just to remind you that God certainly listens when you pray and he answers. But actually, that's not quite enough if you think about it. God hears me when I pray. Well, that's good. Great. I still remember the first time, I don't know, it just dawned on me. I went to a camp, so I grew up going to church, and I went to camp. And I suppose it's because at church you'd have one person praying at a time from up the front, or people would all pray silently, and then we'd have, you know, sort of open worship afterwards, but even during that, one person would be standing and praying or speaking at a time. And I went to a camp when I was about intermediate age, and there were a bunch of people, teenagers, all sitting around, and we're invited to break into groups and pray. And I was sitting in this top mezzanine bit, and I looked down, and there's about 100 people, and about 20 of them are praying. And I remember thinking, for the first time in my life, isn't it amazing? God's hearing all of them at the same time. Like, that just blew my mind. You think, well, I wasn't a bright child. But anyway, but you realize God is certainly listening. And he's certainly listening to us when we pray. And that's wonderful news. But then Jesus goes on to add one more thing. Not only is he listening to you when you pray, and not only will he answer you when you pray, but when he answers, his answer will be good. It's very important to know that. Because it's not great news if you think, yeah, God hears you when you pray, and he will answer, but sometimes he'll give you a really mean and nasty answer. How do you like that? No, Jesus says, he hears you when you pray, he answers you when you pray, and his answer is good. Have a look at the next little bit after verse 10, which we've just read. Jesus says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Jesus teaches his disciples that God answers them when they pray, and the answers that he gives are good because God is good. God is a good father. And he says, let me give you a bit of a comparison with you fathers, who he says, you who are evil. That might have been a bit of a sting, but let's be honest. I'm a dad. Am I a perfect dad? Nah. Have I always been a great dad? No. Do I have regrets as a dad? Yeah. It's my daughter's birthday tomorrow. She keeps reminding me, Dad, you're in Invercargill on my birthday. Yes, but you know, I'll be home in time for dessert and cake. That's the main thing. So, but she asked me for a present tomorrow. To be honest, I have no idea what we got. My wife's in charge of that. But anyway, if she asked me for a present tomorrow, some of you dads know what that's about. New pair of shoes for running at school or something like that. What I do, go out and find her something really nasty. She hates bugs, this one. Go and get a little shoebox for cockroaches or you don't have cockroaches down here, do you? Something, praying mantises, I don't know. Something. No, of course not. I might be an imperfect father, but even I wouldn't do that. Jesus says, well, if that's the case with you, imagine what kind of answer you're going to get when you ask a good and loving and perfect heavenly father. You'll get a good answer. That's what you'll get. In fact, Luke puts it in a slightly different way. He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? Luke writes that down, those words of Jesus for us. I mean, is there any cooler, kinder, more encouraging, helpful gift that God has given once his son dies on the cross and ascends back to heaven than to say, and I will send my Spirit to live with you, Christian, and to help you? And to help you to live for me every day and remind you that I am your child. I will come to be with you through the Holy Spirit. That's what a great gift he will give us. And so how's he going to hold back on us for anything else that we ask? See, you imagine if there's a new king. Let's go for a new boss at work or something, or a new principal at school, or, you know, someone like that. And they are a strong leader. What they say goes. They can make things happen, but they're not kind. Well, it's not great to have a strong leader who's not kind, because they can make stuff happen, right? But not good stuff. Not stuff in your best interests. There have been leaders throughout the history of the world who are strong leaders, and they make things happen, but they're not good and kind. Wouldn't you hate to live under that kind of rule? Then again, imagine if you had a new boss, a new principal at school, a new leader of a country, who was very kind, loving, compassionate, the sort of person that they walk down the street and they greet you by name because they know about you and your children, lovely person, but they're weak. When you ask for their help, they'd love to help. They love you. They're so kind. But there's not really anything I can do, I'm afraid. Now, what we want is we want a leader who is strong and a leader who is good. A leader who is powerful and a leader who is kind. Not one or the other, both. Jesus here tells two stories, and I think he's teaching us exactly that. God is good. God is strong. God hears your prayers. God answers your prayers. He is good. He is kind. Which for me, I think, challenges some of this that I go through. Feeling like God's not listening to me when I pray. I tell myself that because I'm not getting the answer I want, or I'm not getting it in the time that I expect. It's one of those occasions where I probably shouldn't listen to myself. I should go and listen to the words of Jesus instead, because he says I'm wrong. He says, no, God is listening to you when you pray, and he is answering. Well, but he didn't give me what I asked for in the time that I asked for it and in the way that I expected. So maybe he's not kind. No, Jesus says, no, you've forgotten what God is like, your Father. He's good, he's loving, he's kind. You may or may not be able to understand it, but the answer he's given you is the kindest answer and the best answer and the most loving answer that he can give you. Challenge for me is working out how that can be so. It's a conversation we had with our children. Two or three of my kids, I can't remember how many, but at one point, when three of our kids were born, first three kids were born, not only did they have both sets of grandparents, but they had three full sets of great-grandparents still alive. So they have a lot of nanas, and we have to clarify by last name or country which one we're talking about. So they'd have nana this and great nana that and nana nana and grandparents and great. And my grandfather, who I'm named after, he lived in Australia, and he was in and out of hospital just for a little bit. He's very healthy, but just a little bit at the end of his life, he's in and out of hospital. And so at dinner time, we would pray, and he was Gramps, our kids called him. And our kids would pray for Gramps, and Lord, please heal Gramps and take the sickness away and make him strong again. That's neat. Cool thing to pray. Great that we can pray. God is listening. There does come a point as an adult where you think, Gramps is now 93. God's been very kind to Gramps. At some point, I think we need to think about what we're asking God for him. I ask that he will be healed. There's nothing wrong with that. But kids, you know what else we can pray about? Gramps knows and loves Jesus. So after this comes forever with Jesus. So it's actually also okay to pray, dear God, please take Gramps to be with you. And that's real hard for kids to get their head around that one. We prayed for Gramps to be healthy. We want him to be here forever. And God didn't answer in the way that we wanted. Yeah, but God gave him the very best thing. And he answered your prayers in the very best way. Now, I can understand that for Gramps. There are other things in my life I'm not sure why God is doing what he's doing. But I do know this. He's not like you evil fathers. He's a good father who always gives good gifts. So his prayer is always a good and a kind prayer. I think we need to think about how we help our friends, our church friends, our Christian friends, when they are asking for something good, but they don't seem to be getting it. Because the temptation will be to say God's not listening, or he doesn't care, or he's not good. It's not a good temptation, because it's not true, but I think we can understand it. So how we help our Christian friends when they are praying for healing, but it's not coming. How we help our Christian friends when they're praying that a marriage won't fall apart, but it's falling apart. How we pray for our Christian friends when they're asking for God's help, but their life just seems to be becoming more and more complicated and there's not much that they can seem to do about it. The hard part is we live with the reality of I can see what's happening, and in this world of suffering and sin, this is stink. But the words of Jesus tell us whenever we ask for God's help, God is listening and God is good. How do we help our friends come back to that and believe the words of Jesus? Because they are true when what we see with our eyes is trying to lead us down a different path. Now, we don't want to go in and say, never mind, God works it out for good. We don't want to be heartless and silly and throw out bumper stickers at them. But isn't it interesting when the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, sure, I'll teach you to pray, but I'm going to spend most of my time teaching you what God is like. I think that's the key to prayer. So let's help each other believe it and keep on believing it. And coming back to the words of Jesus about what our Heavenly Father is like. Let me pray to finish up our time now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus can teach us to pray. help us to believe his words about you and to trust in them, and help us to encourage our Christian friends, people from our church, when sometimes it's a struggle to see how these words are playing out. Help us to point our friends back to the words of Jesus, the true and sure word of God, and help us to believe these words together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.